I told him on credit, Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said something.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show. That's the Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking with us on this Friday morning, or yeah, what's left of this Friday morning, I should say. Text line 251-343-0106. Joining us on the line now, our returning champion. You hear him about this time every Friday. We're pleased to be joined by State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, sir. Thanks for having me on. Certainly not a slow news day in talk radio world, is it?
No, not really, but it's not really a slow time in Alabama politics right now. Now it's about to slow down a little bit, but how are you holding up there?
I'm glad that we're finishing up. You know, the governor's signed the budgets, and that pretty much put everybody at ease, I think, from legislative standpoint. And so, you know, here we go. We'll be finishing up here soon. A little cleanup on Tuesday, and then that'll be a wrap on the legislative session.
So, kind of watching how this year went, and I think and Todd Stacey and I were talking about this earlier in the program. I think it went extraordinarily well. The leadership kind of kept everybody together, and I'm sure a lot of this was settled behind closed doors, but it was settled nonetheless. And you have your usual problems in the Senate, I know, with the Democrats and them using their abilities to slow things down. But the stuff that did get done, it felt like to me, and you were here the last 4 years before this, but it felt like it was a little less acrimonious than it had been in the past.
I would certainly agree with that. And look, you know, there's some things. I was driving back from Montgomery this week and coming back home, and there were some things I just was contemplating. You know, there are some disappointing things that didn't happen, right? We didn't get meaningful school choice done. We didn't, in my mind, constrain the growth of government. You know, there's so much money floating around. We spent it all over my objection. We didn't, at least haven't yet anyway. We'll see what happens Tuesday. Dealt with some of the ballot security issues we need to deal with. And we didn't deal with divisive concepts again, unless, again, that comes up on Tuesday. But there's some big pluses too, right? We got ESG done. We've made serious, changes to and reforms to grocery taxes, which I think will lead the path to eventually doing away with grocery taxes as a whole. So there are a lot of those types of things that are good steps in the right direction. So I think I'd call it a mixed bag at the end of the day.
Tell us something, what went wrong with the divisive concepts, the CRT stuff? Because talking to Ed Oliver, and he was kind of like, I think it's going to go early. It just never got off the ground.
Well, you know, that's kind of what happened with it last year, too, and it's a frustrating thing. You know, you said when we started talking that things went smoothly, there wasn't as much acrimony. Well, that's because, in my mind, some of these things just didn't get brought to the floor. And in order to get, you know, a lot of these other things done, you know, deals had to be made. There's only so much time. You know, you only get 30 legislative days. And if we're hopelessly locked down on these issues and can't get a vote on them, it clogs things up. So those are leadership decisions that are made. You know, what are we going to take up? What is more important? What can we get past? And then how do we manage our, the Democrats on the other side so that they don't clog things up so badly that we're unable to get some of the things done we want to get done? And it's a tough pill to swallow. We'll have another chance at it next year, and I expect every one of those issues that we just discussed that haven't come up, either didn't come up or weren't successful in getting on the floor, will be back next year. I don't think school choice is going away. I don't think divisive concepts going away. I don't think ballot harvesting, is going away. So we're going to have to continue to look at those issues. We'll get it done eventually. It's just frustrating that it didn't happen this year.
Could we include the reforms to the state health officer on that list of something that's on the docket, at least possible?
I think so. I know Senator Gavan's done good work there, and I think that, frankly, Dr. Harris, who I maintained a cordial relationship, did himself some harm this year with a lot of the comments that he made. So I think the opportunity for that to come back is good. I do think that will end us, you know, up in a cloture situation in an entire legislative day, most likely, if we take up that piece of legislation. So it's important to note that when you start talking about the number of days you have and you end up saying that's going to cost us a day or two, because of the rules and how effective the Democrats are at using them, you got to understand that's got to be worth the squeeze, right? The juice has got to be worth the squeeze. I think in that case it is. You just can't do it all in one year or you won't get anything done.
How much did the governor do in this thing we do every year, it seems, where we're doing a special session in the middle of the session, really put you guys in a bind? And I understand strategically why you would do it, but it's become like an annual thing, and it does sort of muddle up the process a little.
Look, I don't think the governor had a particularly great session. I mean, if you look at what she promised, what she foretold in her state of the state, and what actually happened, two very different things, what the governor had in the proposed budgets, and then what passed were, at least in the supplementals, markedly different. And so I don't know that it was a particularly great session for her. But at the same time, you know, to the extent that we left rebates, you know, in there, albeit about half of what she had proposed, and to the extent that the general fund and the education fund spent a whole bunch of money and grew government, and that's certainly what she laid out in her State of the State speech, then, you know, there were some successes there. But it's very interesting to me, having been in elected office now for almost a decade, watching this governor's office and how detached they can be at times in the legislative process. There are some high-level conversations occasionally between leadership and the governor's office, but other than that, you do not see the governor, you do not see her staff pushing, maybe monitoring, but certainly not pushing any particular agenda.
How happy are you with the state of the whole grocery tax situation? It seems like we're raising the bar a little bit, maybe making it seem a little more difficult. What do you think of that?
Well, first of all, and I've said it before, and it's worth saying again, but for the leadership of Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth and his very competent and capable staff, we would not be where we are right now, where we are taking huge steps to cut taxes in Alabama. Is it as much as I would like? No. Am I concerned about the triggers, the guardrails, this 3.5% required growth before you get the last cent off? Yes, I'm concerned about that. And I'm concerned that the public, you know, when we talk about grocery taxes, may think we've done something we haven't done. You know, so your listeners understand, we've taken a small step in eliminating 1 cent of the grocery tax and then another, you know, half a cent and then another half a cent down the road, as long as revenue projections are met. And that's a huge thing. You know, you remember the days of the AEA and their dominance in Alabama politics. This would never have been possible back in the days of Henry Mabry and Paul Hubbard. There's no way. But it's been handled in a fiscally responsible way. And when I say that, I mean that the budgets are very much protected. Now, I take a different approach at that. I'm not as interested in protecting the government's budget. I'm more interested in protecting taxpayers' budgets, and I want to get more money back to the taxpayers, and that's my priority, because the government will spend every last blasted nickel you give it.
Well, that's what it seems like to me, that the budget chairman, Senator Orr in your chamber, and then I think Danny Garrett, who also has played a role in this, they have made it a priority to protect these budgets. Talking a little to Senator Orr yesterday, and it seems like he's playing goalkeeper almost, because everybody's kind of coming to the ETF with their hand out, and he's having to be the bad guy. But that's why you're getting a lot of these stipulations in some of these tax reform measures.
Well, and that's where I have a philosophical difference, I believe, especially when we start talking about general fund budgets, but to some extent on the education side of things as well. And that is, hey, we protected our budgets, which means we protected our revenue, right? I look at this differently and say the way you protect the budget is you spend less. That's how you do it. You don't. It's not a revenue protection issue. It's not our money. It's the people's money. So you protect it. You protect your budget by reducing or holding the line on spending, and unfortunately, that's not what we did this year. And that to me is one of the more disappointing things.
And we don't even have that discussion though. Like five places the state government can cut spending or something like that. It's just. If anything, Senator, it seems like there's almost a celebratory tone from the governor and from members of the legislature about these record-setting budgets. Oh, my God, aren't we doing so great? Look at all the money we're spending. And I think that's the wrong message.
I couldn't agree more. I think we had a real opportunity to make even more meaningful tax cuts. And even if you were to put some of that in a reserve account dedicated to maintaining the continued, you know, rollback of taxes. Not a savings account for the sake of a savings account, but one to ensure that we could continue to meet to protect budgets while rolling back taxes. That would have been an acceptable use to me. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody had their hand out, and you know, I heard the question asked at one point, what do these budgets look like without all the pork in them? And the answer was unpassable. And I thought that was an interesting commentary, maybe even a sad commentary, that everybody had their hand out and wanted something. And so that's how you build the votes to get the budget. It's, you know, practically speaking, that's how it's done. It's just something that I think lacks some fiscal conservatism that I'd like to see more of.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, I guess you're aware we were texting about it, but the Supreme Court dealing a blow to the Ivey administration, particularly John Cooper, trying to get this injunction on bridge construction stayed. And a lot of people thought the Supreme Court would do it. I mean, they're very friendly to Ivey. She appointed a lot of these guys that are on that court. They did not. 5-3 ruling. What say you? I mean, it just looks like a disaster to me.
I think disaster is a good word for it. It's certainly, you know, one of those things that I'm shaking my head at. I remember, you know, talking to bridge proponents. You know, obviously this is in my district and a very important, you know, concept, these additional lanes across the canal for me. And I said, guys, you know, let's just be clear about this. Just because John Cooper says he's going to build you a bridge does not mean he's actually going to be able to do it. And that we may end up in a situation where we didn't accept, you know, that Aldott didn't accept the deal that the bridge company was offering and instead decided to go a different path, but that they were going to be mired in court battles. And this is where we find ourselves. But more concerning to me, and you and I have talked about this before, but more concerning to me is that I talked about this exact eventuality with the governor's office, with her senior staff, and with the Department of Transportation, and I know that commissioners did, that mayors did as well, and that John Cooper said on the stand that governor, and he had not talked about this project since 2017, that the kids that just graduated from high school were in sixth grade the last time that John Cooper and the governor talked about this project, despite all of these local elected officials, these local, you know, county commissioners, the state senator for the area saying, this is going to be a mess, that the governor of the state of Alabama, who should be leading on transportation policy, did not pick up the phone and call John Cooper and say, "What are we doing here? This has fleas on it."
I mean, you still put a lot of this on Ivy, but to me, some of it is this, that Cooper sort of comports himself as a guy that's my way, I know better, politics be damned, I don't care about your local issues, we're going to do it my way, and I know he's getting pressure probably from some other places, but that is, to me, my takeaway. Like, there's some problems there as well.
Listen, John, I've known him for a long, long time, and you're exactly right. That's how he is. But it is amazing to me that the governor is not directing transportation policy and priorities in the state of Alabama. I mean, the buck stops with her. Everybody can pile on John, and I'm certainly not defending Director Cooper and his actions on this. As a matter of fact, I'm very critical of the methodology used to move forward on this project. But at the end of the day, this is a failure of leadership from the governor's office. Allowing this to happen like it has happened, full well knowing, because you had folks like me and others telling them this is problematic, and didn't even pick up the phone and call him. That is a failure of leadership at the highest level.
Well, she's elected. Elections have consequences. Cooper's not elected. Do you think there needs to be, I mean, I asked you this last time, a change here? Because I don't see how he survives.
Look, I'm ready for a change. I'm ready for a change from top to bottom. And I think we're going to get that in the next election. And I think you're going to get somebody who is hard charging, who's got their hands on the wheel, who is actively involved in all kinds of different policies, whether it's what's the legislature doing, how are transportation policies being met. And I think when you see the next governor, you're going to get a much more hands-on approach, less ribbon cuttings, and more driving, more running the policy side of the state of Alabama.
Senator, if I don't get to see you, enjoy a little time off, but we will talk again soon.
I appreciate you having me on. Thanks again.
Thank you. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hand me my hat, excuse me, man, but where's the door?